Today I want to talk to you about why do I struggle to share my faith? Why do I struggle to share my faith? And I think it's just such an important topic. The first week of this series, Pastor Steve said that God wants to use each and every one of us to make a difference. And then week two, he taught us that when we look at scripture, we believe that we're in the end times. And so when I think about those two truths, I can't think of a better thing to focus on, to lean into, to grow in, than sharing my faith, than reaching people for Christ, than inviting people to church and making a difference. And so I want to talk about why do I struggle to share my faith? Because we know this, okay? We know that we don't have a problem in our modern society sharing things. I mean, come on, you go to a good restaurant, a good coffee shop, you watch a TV show, a movie, you hear a song. We love to share good news with others. We love to share. And think about social media. I mean, social media, we're professional sharers. We share 13 billion things a day. 13 billion. Videos, pictures, thoughts. That's 8 million a minute. And some of you don't have a problem sharing. If you're honest, in the house of God, you have a problem with oversharing. You're laughing because you're convicted. I mean, I'm glad to see your latte. I'm glad to see your dog's haircut. But at some point, we have to draw a boundary. The other day, I jumped on social media. No joke. And I was scrolling through, and somebody was at the emergency room waiting in line to have the doctor care for their wound. And apparently they thought it was a good idea to take out their phone, take a picture, and share their wound with the rest of the world. That's called oversharing, okay? And if that's you, it's okay, there's grace. Just look at your neighbor and say, I'm sorry, you didn't ask to see that. I'll try to rein it in next time, okay? But we don't have a problem sharing good news. But if we don't have a problem sharing good news, why do we find it hard at times to share our faith with people? The greatest news of all. And so I want to talk to you again about why do I struggle to share my faith? And in preparation for this message, I created a little survey and I shared it with our West Esplanade campus. And a big shout out to our West Esplanade family. I love our campus and what God's doing there on the South Shore. But we did this survey and they filled it out, and some other campuses filled it out as well. And this is what we found in this survey. The majority of people that filled out this survey said that they never or rarely share their faith. And when they do so reluctantly. So basically, there's a struggle to share our faith. There's a struggle to share our faith. And this is right in line with other research that's been done. Very consistent. There are some extensive studies that were done with thousands of believers, one by the Barna Research Group, one by Lifeway Research. And this is what they found in their research with Christians. They said Christians they surveyed expressed an excitement and eagerness about the idea of evangelism, but few who actually engaged in the practice on a regular basis. This is what they found. 80% of all Christians do not consistently witness for Christ. The majority of Christians who attend church say they have not shared their faith in the last 6 months with someone outside the church. 52% of the Christians said they actually believe that it's offensive and disrespectful to share our faith with people of another religion. And then this was a big one too. 95% of Christians have never experienced the incredible joy of leading someone to Christ. And I want to talk about that today. I want us to grow in sharing our faith. And I just have to be honest and upfront. I am not the best at sharing my faith. And it's an area that I want to grow in. I mean, I'm not the guy that on a road trip, we stop and get some gas and go to Buc-ee's and I run inside to buy a drink and revival breaks out and everybody gets saved and I go out and tell Sarah, man, there's revival at Buc-ee's. We need to start a Church of the King. Everybody got saved, which is usually about 5,000 people at Buc-ee's. I mean, I don't have that gift. But I think we all can agree that if eternity's real, And Jesus is the answer. That we want to do everything we can in our short life to reach as many people for Christ, to plunder hell and populate heaven. How many of you like me want God to use you more and more to reach people for Christ? And so we're going to look at John chapter 20. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 20. And just to give a little back story, a little context, we know the gospel, the good news, that Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later, rose victoriously. And through him, we can have a relationship with God. We can have our sins forgiven. And we can live in eternity with God. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And so John chapter 19 talks about the first 2 days. Good Friday, when Jesus went to the cross. And then he was buried in the tomb. And then Saturday, the Sabbath, when his body was laid to rest. And so then John chapter 20, we see the account of Resurrection Sunday, the most victorious day in all of human history, when Jesus rose victoriously and paid for our freedom and took away our sins and made a way to have a relationship with God. And so John chapter 20 verse 1 says, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. I love that. And we know the story. Pastor Steve talked about it three months ago when we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. He said that the angels moved the stone, not so Jesus could get out, but so the disciples could come and see what Jesus has done for them. And so Mary saw the two angels. She saw the tomb was empty. And then the disciples came, Peter and John, and they told the other disciples. And so Jesus is risen. The angel said, he's not here. He's risen just as he said he would. I love that. So on this most victorious day, when Jesus rose from the dead, and we probably all know this and remember this, but what we might have forgotten and overlooked in the story was there something else that was happening that same Resurrection Sunday. And we're gonna pick up here in verse 19. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Do you see the picture? Jesus is risen. The disciples are retreating. The tomb is open. The door is closed. Jesus is on the offense. Disciples are playing defense. Jesus, we see this in Revelation 1, chapter 18. He said, behold, I died, now I live, and I hold victoriously the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Meanwhile, the disciples are taking some keys, locking the door, and having a holy huddle. The disciples are thinking, what will happen to us if we go out there? Jesus is thinking, what will happen to them if you don't? And Jesus is thinking, I did not come from heaven to earth, die on the cross, rise victoriously, take the keys so that you could have a holy huddle behind a locked door. Now, if we're honest, many of us struggle to share our faith. And maybe we're not hiding behind a locked door, but maybe in the routine of our lives, we find ourselves playing it safe. We find ourselves hiding in our jobs or hiding in our schools or hiding in our homes and neighborhoods. And what I love about Jesus is he's so patient, he's so kind, and he is an expert. So he not only rose victoriously on that Resurrection Sunday, but he also took the time to show up in the room, to break in the room, to break them out, to send them. Jesus not only saves us, but he sends us. How many of you want to say, yes, here am I, send me? I know I do. And I have to be honest, this is, like I said, an area I've struggled in. And Jesus, what I love about Jesus is he doesn't do bait and switch, okay? He doesn't say, follow me and I'll bless you, I'll heal you, I'll help you, I'll answer all your prayers. And then years later, surprise, I have a mission for you. That's not what he does. In fact, when he called the disciples, he says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's what he says right up front. And I'm so grateful that my parents gave their lives to Christ in the Jesus movement. Right after they got married, they gave their lives to Christ. So we grew up in a Christian home, my brother and I. And we had some great Bible teachers as kids. And one Bible teacher in particular, a lady, when I was 8, she taught us, she said, we as Christians have the privilege and the responsibility to share the good news with everybody we come in contact with. And she gave us tracks. Anybody remember tracks? Tracks. The ABCs of faith. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus. Call upon him. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And she gave me at 8 years old 50 tracks and said, we're called to share our faith. I'm 8. So I have no fear. I have no inhibition. I'm going around handing out tracts to everyone. I'm giving it to the pastor. I'm giving it to everyone. My mom would take us to McDonald's drive-thru. This was before the movie Super Size Me. We weren't worried about the calories. And I would get a number 7 Super Size. Double quarter pounder with cheese, no onions. My mom would take the mom tax. She'd take some fries. And we would be driving through the drive-thru. And I'd say, here, Mom, give him Jesus. And she'd hand a tract in the drive-thru line. I was just giving Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. There was no fear, no hesitation. One day my neighbor came over, a friend of mine, and I said, let's go up and down the street and share Jesus with everyone. So we were going door to door, knock, 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 Jesus, knock, hello, you want Jesus? You need Jesus? We all need Jesus. Jesus for everyone. Hey, come on, come on, come on. And so that's it. I was bold. I wasn't scared. So we get down to the end of the street and I knock on a door with my friend. And apparently he didn't want Jesus because he did not open the door. So at 8 years old, we're walking down to the street and I see a car parked in front of his house and the window was down. So at 8 years old, I thought, let me just drop a tract in his window. So when he gets to the car, boom, Jesus, and he can give his life to Jesus. So I dropped the track in the car, and apparently he saw 2 kids by his car, and right when I did that, the door flew open, and this big, he was huge when you're 8 years old, this guy came out and he goes, hey, what are you doing to my car? And he starts chasing us. He is angry, and I started praying to Jesus, Jesus, help me, and we ran all the way home, and I was so scared, and you know what I did? I ran in the house and I locked the door. And I was scared. Now, I wasn't hurt. Probably shouldn't have been near his car. But that fear hit me. And I lost 10 years of sharing my faith because of one moment of fear. And I stopped sharing my faith. I was scared. And I want to talk about 3 reasons why I struggle to share my faith. And so the first one is this. I'm afraid of what people might think. That's a big one. I'm afraid of what people might think. I don't want them to think I'm pushy. Maybe I don't want them to think I'm a fanatic, a Jesus freak. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to be rejected by them. I don't want them to talk bad about me behind my back. I'm afraid of what people might think. We see the disciples in John 20, verse 19, that Sunday evening, they were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the people. Now, of course, they were afraid of the Jewish leaders persecuting them. And that may not be our fear, but we all at times have insecurities and feel timid and afraid of what people might think. I'm afraid of what people might think. And so for 10 years, I stopped sharing my faith. And then I got to college and I realized God did not die on the cross, rise from the dead just to save me, but he also wants to send me. So I start praying, God, would you use me to share my faith? Would you use me? Would you help me overcome this fear? And even in the midst of fear, just be bold and share my faith. So I start praying, God, give me someone to share my faith with. Help me to get out of the locked door of fear and get back in the game. And I kept praying and praying and praying. God, just give me one person. Show me that person. So the first day of class, I was in a business class, and our professor said, all right, before we get started, meet your neighbors. So I start meeting my classmates, and I met a guy, and this is his introduction to me. He said, hello, my name is Yoshiyuki Tadokoro, but you can call me Yoshi. And his English was very, very broken. He said, I just moved here from Japan. I have no friends. It's very, very sad. And I thought, as I shook his hand, this is the guy. And I wish I could tell you that God touched my heart with compassion. He has no friends. And I started crying and Jesus loves you. No. At 20 years old, this was what was going through my mind. This is the guy. Because if I look foolish and I look dumb and he's offended, he can't tell anyone because he has no friends. Just being honest in the house of God today, all right? I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be, all right? So I start talking to Yoshi, and we build a friendship. I'm like, come to the rec center. Let's play basketball. And he didn't like basketball, so he wanted to play racquetball. So we played racquetball, and he wasn't very good. So I would just beat him at racquetball for the glory of God, and I would just beat him at racquetball. And then we'd get ice cream, and so weeks went by, and I was so scared to cross that line and tell him about Jesus. And so finally, a couple months into our friendship, after a game of racquetball, we go and sit at the cafe there in the rec center, and he's looking down, kind of tired. And I am so nervous, my heart's beating, but I just want to step out and get back in the game and share my faith. And so my voice was cracking, and I said, Yoshi, do you know anything about Jesus? And I'll never forget, as soon as I said Jesus, he goes. And I was like, great, this is how it ends. He's offended, I knew it, he's gonna attack me, he's gonna walk off. But I said, do you know anything about Jesus? And he looks up at me, and he goes, when I was in Japan, I read that America is a Christian nation. So I moved to America, but no one told me about Jesus. Then I read that Baylor is a Christian university. So I come to Baylor, and no one has told me about Jesus. I want to know about Jesus. Can you believe that? I'm like, thank you, God. That was God's way of giving me an easy one to help me kind of get back in the game. Thank you, Lord. And I realized this, that there's people that are more ready to receive than we are to speak up. How many people do we pass by every day that are without God, without hope? They're praying, but they don't know. And we have the answer. We have the answer. And that's the message, by the way. The message is not just God can bless you, God can provide for you, God can heal you. That is all true. God is a great provider, a great healer. But the main message of salvation is, I am a great sinner, Christ is a great savior. That's the message. I mean, imagine if you're on a cruise and someone comes up to you and says, hey, you want this cruise to really be enhanced? I got something for you, but I only have one. Man, this is gonna be amazing. It's gonna make the cruise more comfortable. Everybody's gonna be jealous. You're gonna be so stylish. And hey, I got it just for you. And you say, okay, cool. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you thinking of me. So you put it on, and you start walking around the cruise ship. I've been eating too much McDonald's. And you're like, hey, I'm ready. Pretty soon, what do you notice? It's a little hot. You start moving around, trying to eat, do some things. You're like, it's a little uncomfortable. And then people start looking at you kind of funny, kind of whispering, what's wrong with that guy? And what do you think? You know what? This thing didn't work. I shouldn't have put this on. And what do? You take it off and you say, forget it, I don't want that. But that's not the message of the gospel. Imagine now that we are together on the Titanic in 1912. And someone comes running up from down below and they're out of breath. They say, hey, nobody knows it, but I've been down below and we hit an iceberg and we're taking on water and this thing is going down. But I have something that will save you. And it's this life jacket. And it'll save your life. Well, what do? Then you put it on. And man, you're walking around. It's hot. You don't care. It's uncomfortable. Doesn't matter. People start laughing. You're tightening the straps. They're going around playing games, shuffleboard, enjoying the buffet, eating food, live music. They don't know what you know, that the ship's going down. And a lot of people don't know what we know, that the ship's going down. And there's one Savior, and it's Jesus. And it's so simple. So the best thing to do on the Titanic is not eat the food, enjoy the music. It's to save as many lives as possible. Hey, take a break from the buffet and get over here and get in the boat. Take a break from the music, get over here and get in the boat. Because we want to save as many people as possible. Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Now, do you know that when the Titanic went down, more people could have been saved? You can read about this. What happened was the first people to the boats left. And there was space in the escape boats, in the rescue boats. But they were so focused on themselves, they forgot to make room for as many people as possible. Let's not be those types of Christians. Let's bring everyone we can with us. So we want to, sure, we're going to be afraid at times. We're going to be nervous about what people think. But I don't know about you, but I'm asking God to help my love for people become stronger than my fear of people so that I'll step out and share my faith. And I'm so grateful that we're part of a church that we can partner with in reaching people for Christ. I don't just have to go reach them at work or the coffee shop. I can simply say, hey, why don't you come to church with me this weekend? And grab some invite cards on your way out. God could use us to save people's lives even this week. And so I want to do everything to reach people for Christ, and I want to do it afraid. Number two, I'm afraid I won't know all the answers. This is a big one. Well, I'm afraid I won't know all the answers, and I want to grow in my biblical knowledge. I'm sure you do as well, but let's not overcomplicate it. We don't have to know it all to show people the way. You don't have to know it all on the Titanic to say, get in the boat. Get in the boat. And so I love what the Bible says about showing people the way. 1 Peter 2:9, for you are a chosen people, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. How many of you are grateful that God called us out of darkness into his wonderful light? How many of you have seen the goodness of God in your lives? I know I have. And so we get to share that. And we don't have to know all the answers. John chapter 9, I love the man who was born blind. Jesus shows up and heals him. And the Jewish leaders wanted to figure it all out. They had so many questions, theological questions. And finally he said, I don't know. All I know is I was blind, and now I see. And that's the guy who did it. We don't have to know it all to share our story. Our story is simply before Christ, I was without God, without hope. I had this void inside. Then Christ, then after Christ, I've experienced the love of God, the peace of God. And then the fourth part is this, And he wants to do the same in your life. Would you like to give your life to Christ? It's simple. We don't have to know to show. We can keep it simple. And so number one, I'm afraid of what people will think. Number two, I'm afraid I won't know all the answers. And again, I personally can't think of anyone that I know who's been yelled at, argued with, or fiercely debated into a relationship with God. And if God wanted to go that route, he would have probably called prosecuting attorneys, not fishermen. But we can show the way even if we don't know all the answers. And like John chapter 9, he said, I don't know. Sometimes we can just say, I don't know. I'll try to find out. I don't know. But I'm not going to let what I don't know keep me from sharing what I do know. And the cool thing about sharing our faith, when we really look at Scripture, it's more than just something we do. It's more than just something we turn on and turn off. When we look at Scripture, it's a part of who we are. It's a part of our identity. Jesus, we see in Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses. It's an identity. Once you're a witness to a crime, you can't unwitness that. You are always a witness because of what you've experienced. That's why Jesus, when he went in the locked room, he showed them his scars. They saw he was alive. They witnessed it. They had something to share because of what they witnessed. Matthew 4:19, I will make you fishers of men. I know people say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. And we don't all have the gift of evangelism, but we're all called to do the work of an evangelist. And some of us might say, well, I've never really been used by God to reach people for Christ in the past. And guess what? Just because you haven't in the past doesn't mean you won't in the future. Because God is committed to making us fishers of men. Are you willing to let God make you into a fisher of men? And what's beautiful about the way God works is he'll use your personality, he'll use your interests, he'll use your giftings, and he'll use each and every one of us to make an eternal impact for Christ. Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's part of our identity, and we just need to walk in it. Number three, I'm afraid I will fail. I'm afraid I will fail. Two practical thoughts about this. First, if someone's in danger drowning, we don't think, oh, I better not help because I might fail. They're already drowning. So we can only make it better, not worse. Secondly, in this survey I shared with our church, 92% said that they heard about Christ over five times before they made a decision. Over five times. So if we share Christ with somebody, if we share our story, if we invite a waiter to church, a waitress to church, and they say no, it's not failure. We're part of their story and we're sowing seed. The Bible says this. The Bible says in Mark 4:14, the sower sows the word. We sow the word. And I love what Ecclesiastes says about sowing. It says, sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether one or the other will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good. And so I don't have to know it all to sow. Well, Pastor, are they gonna respond favorably? I don't know. Well, when are they gonna respond? I don't know. But I don't have to know to sow. And so when we moved here 18 years ago to Mandeville, we were on staff at Church of the King, and we bought our first house. And it was such an exciting moment. We were moving into our house. And I had some friends helping me unpack. And a lady from across the street comes running over and starts crying. Like the first day we're moving into our house. And she's crying, and she says, I heard you're a part of Church of the King. One of the movers said, you moved here to be part of the church. She said, I have a 17-year-old son, and he is totally addicted to drugs. The doctor says he has like an 85-year-old liver. He's just in bad shape, and I need help. And so I said, well, we'll do whatever we can. We'll do whatever we can to help. And to be honest, Again, I had been saved for years. God had been working on me to get me out of the locked door, but I still had a lot of fear and a lot of intimidation. And I talked to some of the police officers in our church, and they said, oh yeah, we know about that house. We know about that guy. It's a rough situation. One night, he got in a fight with his friend, broke his jaw right in the street. And so I was like, I told the mom, I want to help. But the way I was helping is I was sitting inside my house praying. I'm a Christian, I'm on staff, and I'm still scared. So I'm just praying. And I know how to pray. God, open the eyes of his heart that he might see you and know you, God. Lord Jesus, bless him. Lord, heal him. Lord, rescue him. Lord, deliver him. And I started praying this prayer from Matthew 9. God, would you send the laborers into your harvest, God? Oh, God, would you send the laborers into your harvest? And I'm sitting by my window, and I'm looking at his house, and I'm praying, oh, Lord of the harvest, send a laborer. God, would you send someone to my neighbor? Oh, would you send someone to my neighbor? God, would you send someone to my neighbor? And God must have been thinking, this is the slowest person I've ever worked with. How much more can I send you? Get up, unlock the door, and walk across the street. So I finally did. I got up, opened the door, walked across the street, knocked on the door. That week at our youth service, we were doing a big one-night super series and invite all your friends, and we were going to give away a Wii U. That was the big thing at the time. Someone had donated the video game, the Wii U. So I knock on the door, and this young man answers. And he is totally loaded with drugs, and he's angry. And I said, hey, I'm your neighbor. And we have church this Wednesday, and we're giving away a Wii U. Would you like to come? And he told me in very colorful language what he thought about me, the church, and the Wii U. And he slammed the door. And I said, well, God, I tried. Let me go back and keep praying. Lock my door and keep praying. But I really want to grow in this. I really want to grow in this. So I kept praying, God, help me. Help me get back in the game. So I went across the street again, and he wasn't loaded this time, and it was much easier to have a conversation. And I said, look, would you just let me take you to lunch? I'll pay. I promise I won't be preachy. I won't be pushy. And he said, yeah, he wanted to get a burger, so I took him to get a burger. But I invited a friend who had come out of drugs, and I let my friend share how Jesus saved him and talk about a Christian rehab that was available and ask him if he wanted to give his heart to Christ. And he said, thanks for the burger. No thanks. And I took him back home. Then I took him out again for lunch, and I got another guy to come who was a drug dealer, and God saved him and delivered him. And he said, do you want Jesus? Do you? And he said, no, no thanks. So I took him back home. A couple days go by, I get a knock on the door, and the mom in tears says, my son's been arrested. I thought I had failed. But it's not about success or failure. It's about sowing the seed. And God says in Isaiah, my word will not return void, but will accomplish what I sent it to do. And so long story short, a year goes by, and I'm thinking, I must have failed. There he is in jail. A year goes by, and I get a knock on the door, and it's him. He looks like a new person. And he says, can I talk to you? He comes and sits down, and he says, you know, I got arrested a year ago. And I was locked up. And like the second day I was there, they opened the door and said, hey, come on out to the yard, get some fresh air. So we all went out to the yard. He said, I walked out into the yard, and he said, another inmate. He said, I don't know anybody, but another inmate walked right up to me in the crowd, and he looked at me and said, you know it's time. He said, I broke down crying, and he said, I know, I need Jesus. He said, I knelt down on my knees in the yard, and I surrendered my life to Jesus right there. And I thought to myself, that's not really fair because I bought you the lunch and I explained everything and you cursed me out. But watch this, 1 Corinthians 3:7. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. And God made that seed grow. He got saved, connected in our church, and started thriving. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes at all of our locations. So if you're here and you say, you know what? I want God to use me to reach people. And if you know anyone who's not right with God, I just want you to raise one hand right now, all of our locations. Say, I know someone who I don't think is right with God. And we're gonna take a moment and pray for them. You can keep your hand raised. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for our family members, for our coworkers, for our neighbors, for our friends, God, who are far from you. Lord God, you rescued us from our sin. And Lord, you not only saved us, but you're sending us. And so we pray that you would save them, God. Lord, that you would open their eyes to see your love and to receive your mercy and your grace, Lord God. And we ask that you would use us, God, to be a part of reaching them for you, God, inviting them to church, God. Help us be bringers, God. Bring your good news to them and bring them to Jesus. Bring them to the house of God. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And Lord, you don't send us out alone, but you fill us with your Holy Spirit to give us the love, to give us the boldness, to make the most of every opportunity. And right now, with everyone's head still bowed, if you're here today and you're not sure about your relationship with God, that's where it all starts. And I want to pray for you. With no one looking around, if you say, I'm not sure about my relationship with God, but I want to know that I'm forgiven and saved. If that's you on the count of three, I just want to invite you to raise your hand. One, two, three. God bless you guys. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else, say, include me in this prayer. All of our locations, campus pastors are coming on stage. God bless you. Well, those of you who raise your hands, you can put your hands down. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. We're all going to pray this together to support those making this decision. Just pray this. Say, Jesus, I come to you today, a sinner in need of a Savior. Now pray this. Say, Jesus, I let go of my past and I turn to you. I turn to the cross. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me clean. Give me a new heart, a new life, a new reason to live. Now pray this. Say, Jesus, I take my life and I put it in your hands. From this day forward, I belong to you. Now let me pray for you. God, I thank you for the Spirit of God and the Word of God taking root deep in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, what an incredible message. And I really hope that you're walking away encouraged and full of hope that God is with you and God loves you. And I do want to take a second to talk to those of you who may be making a decision right now to commit your life to Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe to recommit your life to Christ. If that is you, we are so excited for you. And as a church, we would love nothing more than to just walk alongside you, to show you what it means to follow Jesus, because we believe that you're leaving the past in the past, and this is not the finish line, it's actually the starting line of an amazing life of following Jesus for the rest of your life. So would you give us the privilege of just following up with you, giving you some resources and helping you as you're beginning to walk out this new life of following Jesus. And again, congratulations, we're so excited for you. And if you do want to be a part of just partnering with us to continue to reach people and build lives, you can always go online to churchoftheking.com/give to be a part of seeing the gospel go forth and people to hear about Jesus. And lastly, I want to encourage you, if you're not already, to subscribe to our YouTube channel, to follow us on Facebook, to really stay up to date with all that God has for us, all the content that we're putting out. Pastor Steve has some powerful messages every single week for us, and we're really growing and learning what it means to live out the life that God has for us. I encourage you to follow along, to be a part of all that God is doing here at Church of the King. And again, we just want to say thank you for being a part of our service today. We love you guys. We hope you have an awesome rest of the week, and we'll see you very soon.